This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
McDavid on the draw. Takes a shot. It actually went forward. Makar behind the net. Set play. McDavid scores! Connor McDavid scores the goal. Team Canada wins for Nations Gold.
That's NHL Radio. Congrats to our neighbors to the north. Canada victorious in hockey. News at 11. No, this was a good one, though. Welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ's in for Perloff this whole week. And listen, you know, Canada, congratulations. From what I can tell, it was nerve-wracking for the Canadians because obviously the expectation is that you're going to win and you're going to beat the United States. It took overtime, and the greatest player in the sport currently, Connor McDavid, is the difference maker, along with their hot goalie, Jordan Binnington, who was phenomenal in the extra period. Just, I mean, save after save.
Yep.
And listen, until the United States produces our own Connor McDavid, these results are going to keep going this way. And We've talked a little bit this morning about how this felt eerily like 2010 with the Olympic gold final. That goes into multiple overtime. But it was double overtime when Sidney Crosby scored the game winner, yes, the golden goal. And that was, again, a generational talent that's Canadian born, that's the difference maker. And here we are now, fast forward to 2025, and it's Connor McDavid, the next Sidney Crosby, if you will, the next generational talent from Canada. And we can trace this back to Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky. Canada always has the best player. And in moments like this, it's the difference. So, you know, it can't be, I personally am not that bummed for the United States. I think this was way more of a triumph. No one expected it to be this popular, EJ.
Yeah.
They caught lightning in a bottle. I think we're going to all be excited for the Olympics in 2026 when the NHL players are back on the ice there after missing the last two cycles. All in all, I don't think the U.S. has anything to hang their hat on except for leaving Connor McDavid that wide open in front of the net in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they have Connor McDavid and we have Austin Matthews. And it's not a disrespect to Austin Matthews. He's a superstar. But I saw this on social media last night, and I kind of agree. It feels like we're all Toronto Maple Leafs because how often has, you know, Austin Matthews' teams come up short and, you know, him not being able to come through in the biggest spots, and then, you know, a bigger star or the other team coming through in the clutch and winning. Like, that's been the American story. And unfortunately for Matthews, that's been a lot of his career. But that's really what it comes down to. And I think at the end of the day, in Canada, hockey is the number one sport. Here in America, it's at least four. Maybe it's less. I don't know. So I think in Canada, you're always going to get the most kids and the best athletes wanting to play that sport. You don't have as much competition for football, for any of the summer sports, like, you know, baseball.
I don't know. Their
tennis.
Basketball team's pretty good now.
Well, basketball plays indoors, though. So, basketball is getting good, right? But, like, in terms of besides basketball, like, because of just the climate, like, there are other sports that kids want to play that are outdoors that, like, creates competition to find the best athletes. So we're always going to be facing that disadvantage, and it just feels like we are never going to have that generational guy. So that's why it feels, I feel bummed. Like, it was a great night of hockey, so I enjoyed spending my night watching that game. It was just frustrating to feel like I watched this game in 2010. Like, the fact that it was the exact same ending almost makes me feel like it's just going to be just a never-ending loop that the U.S. will come close, but at the end of the day, they're going to have a Sidney Crosby, a Connor McDavid, or whoever the next guy is. Yeah. That's going to be better than anyone we got, and we're going to have to be hearing the U.S. anthem billet played for the silver medal.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. We're on, obviously, in the United States, but we're on in Canada as well. We're on in Toronto. We're on in Vancouver, literally coast to coast in Canada. So we'd love to hear how you guys are feeling this morning. And to the victor goes the spoils in Canada. And for us, we've got to pick up the pieces. I can't help but notice what's been going on, though, in sports over this last week. And over this last week, hockey has been triumphant, and they've been they should be basking in the success of this Four Nations face-off. It worked. It was a gimmick that all the players bought into, and it's awesome. They're giving out medals last night. There's fireworks everywhere. I mean, it worked, and people were into this thing. And meanwhile, the NBA, also on their break, couldn't have fallen flatter in their All-Star game. And it was, again, a gimmick, trying to get more people to tune in. Didn't seem like the players are still caring all that much. And I think that the NHL embarrassed the NBA over the last week. I want to play you a little PK Subban, who's obviously a fantastic player in his own right. He's talking on ESPN, and he said this is a message to the NBA All-Stars about what these exhibitions can be.
I'm sick and tired of making athletes greats, all-time greats, that aren't the best examples. Stephen A., you want athletes to be educated on this and understand this. They got to understand the importance of showing up to the All-Star game and being on the court. Because you're making 100, 200, 300 million, you should be out there banged up. You should be. That's why we pay you, is to max out.
More from PK Subban on ESPN, asking the NBA players, what's the motivation here, guys?
It's based on the pride, honor, playing for the guy next to you. I got a question for the NBA players. What the hell are you playing for? What are you playing for? It's not about the money. You make all the money.
Amen. I think PK Subban nailed it here. And he also said one other thing that I really agree with, where he says the NHL didn't do this. Hockey, you know, they create the platform. They create the Four Nations face-off. But the reason why it worked is because of the players. And the same thing should be for the NBA. All Adam Silver can do, he can't make guys care, okay? He can give them the platform. They can, you know, have their TV partners and all of that stuff. But ultimately, it's do the guys care. Jordan cared. Kobe cared. I don't want to say LeBron doesn't care. Sure. He has cared at times in his career. Hell, he's been playing so long. He's, you know, gone through multiple eras. The guys don't care as much now. You can't make them care. And I think Subban has hit it right on the nose here. And I do think that hockey embarrassed the NBA in that way, because he gets to say, we cared about this exhibition and put on a show for our audience. And by the way, when our season picks up again today, you're going to get that same effort again. No load management. That's not part of the culture of this sport.
Yep.
They get the moral superiority. They get the high ground when it comes to that.
But my question to PK Subban is, all right, then why didn't I see that effort in the All-Star game last year or the year before that or the year before that? Why did you have to actually change? It's because, like every other sport that's dealing with issues with All-Star games, that format of just doing East versus West or just taking a bunch of superstars and putting them on a court or an ice or a field mid-season or at the end of the season, wherever you want to put it, if you're talking about the Pro Bowl at the end of the season, it just doesn't work anymore. It's an outdated concept because there is too much money being made. There is too much on the line. And we know a lot more about the risk for injury when you go out there and take the field or take the ice or take the court. And I will quote the great Roman Reigns in WWE in talking about how, yes, PK Subban, yes, you guys work 10 times harder than the NBA guys. You also make 10 times less than the NBA guys in some aspects. So do you want NHL money or do you want NBA money? Because that's really what it comes down to. He can say, what are you playing for? Just the money. It's like, yes, that's what they're playing for, because the NBA, not just the players, but particularly talking about the ownership in the front offices, they're no longer looking at these guys purely as a guy that's playing on a random Tuesday night at the, you know, at the United Center where the Bulls are playing some other team. Yeah. It is, this player is a long-term investment. and us having an opportunity to win not just one, but multiple championships, because we play in a sport where there's an outsized emphasis on winning championships and how many championships you win. If you're a great player in this sport and you don't have any championships, you're worth nothing, basically. That is what these athletes feel like they're being told. So, yes, you can go max effort on a random, you know, Tuesday night in Edmonton and not have that pressure and that attention of, well, you're not going to be a team that's actually going to win a championship, so you don't really matter. It doesn't that calculus doesn't come into play. So we're talking about apples and oranges when it comes to, dissing the NBA guys and then saying the NHL guys, where they're playing on pride. It's like, well, yeah, they have a lot less to lose.
Well,
this is real.
I don't know. I mean, don't you reap what you sow? Like, you have ring culture, so now all of a sudden nothing matters. The regular season doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Your playoffs are so long. Who cares? Well, you've devalued your sport, right? And you've created a culture where, yeah, I know load management is not only on the players in the NBA. It's on the sports science people. It's on the front office. But at some point, it becomes part of the culture. And I do think there are guys who would just never expect to play anywhere close to a full schedule. And that's not just the front office that's telling them. Like, I don't think Joel Embiid ever thinks that he's playing anywhere close to a full schedule. I don't think it's important. It's not a priority. And what may have started in the front office, I think now just becomes part of your culture, which is playing is not the thing, which is crazy. And then the other thing that PK said is, you know, a little of that's what the money's for. And I think that what we've learned, especially with the NBA, is that the money doesn't necessarily make you work any harder. That's not like the carrot that ends up working. Maybe it's a perk that goes along with the sport. Yeah. But Paul George just cashed in this huge, huge contract with the Philadelphia 76ers. What do you think it's making him play harder?
No.
Absolutely not.
No, but you know what happened though? The last 2 years with the Clippers, a team that really has adopted the San Antonio Spurs model of being the team of load management.
Yeah.
They've load managed Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to death.
And they still got hurt.
They still got hurt, but Paul George put together two really good seasons. And he had to put together good playoffs, even though his team lost. And that's why another team looked at a 34-year-old guy who's coming off broken legs, broken shoulders. I mean, Paul George has every injury in the book. And said, you know what? He played really well last year. We can get 50 games from Paul George and a good playoff run. Maybe we can win, because at the end of the day, all we care about is winning a championship. Like, yeah. Joel Embiid is under this pressure. The general manager is under this pressure. The ownership is under this pressure. That's all that matters in Philadelphia at this point, because they've been to playoffs. They've been to whatever. They've done everything else except winning a championship. So, again, the calculus is just different. What we're rewarding guys in the NHL for is different than what we're rewarding guys in the NBA for.
I know, but I think it's a little too simplistic, and maybe this is our American view of the NHL, and I think the Canadian view would be different. You can tell us at 855-212-4227. I think there's so much pressure for the best guys to win in the NHL. I don't think that they are absolved from this at all. I don't think that Connor McDavid is going to be, you know, just let off the hook if he never wins a Stanley Cup. The thing is, so far in the, you know, for the generational talents we've seen in hockey, they've all won, and they've all won big and a lot. So, but if McDavid continues like to go to Stanley Cup finals and lose, yeah, I definitely think it chips away. Like, he's definitely going to feel it. He's going to feel the pressure, maybe not from the American audience as much, but definitely the Canadian. Think of how much pressure was on Ovechkin. There was a ton until he finally won.
Yeah, but we just saw Connor McDavid in a Stanley Cup Finals last year, and what was the takeaway? That guy is awesome. Like, that guy is great.
We expect him to be back.
We expect him to be back, sure, but there wasn't this groundswell of, like, man, how could you be the best player and not get it done?
Well, because there's a little, like, okay, but...
Because that's not the case in the NBA.
But there were times when Jerry West was the best player in a finals, and they didn't win. And I don't think people... Now, Jerry finally won.
Right, and he was depressed, and it killed him, almost.
But I don't think people who were watching Jerry West in his prime were just like, man, what a loser. Like,
they did with Will Chamberlain, and he won. That's my point. That's a guy that won two championships, and if you read, and I have done it, you read articles from the 60s and the 70s talking about Will Chamberlain, talking about some of those guys. It's like, yeah, he's great, but he didn't win. He didn't win enough, at least.
Right.
And that becomes a big part of these guys' stories. I just mentioned, Auston Matthews was our captain. He was our best player. That guy, they can't get past the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he's still the captain. And they lost this game where he missed some big goals. Binnington was awesome, but he didn't come through. Is he going to have any backlash coming back You know, he's playing in Toronto. It's a little weird. So he's playing for a Canadian team. But is there any American backlash to Austin Matthews coming up short again? No.
Well, I also think that's because this expectation still right now is that Canada is the better overall program. Now, we've closed the gap quite a bit. And I know it was a pick 'em game last night. But it's not, I still don't think it's the same because our expectations are in a different spot. Like when we go into the Olympics for Team USA basketball, we expect to win. If we fall short, it's a tragedy.
But how many?
I think it would have been, it's a tragedy last night if Canada doesn't win this. It's not that yet with USA.
But how many of these NBA stars that we're talking about where it is a championship or bust atmosphere where they were playing against better teams? Like, I mentioned it a bunch of times because it's true. We can say everything we want about James Harden, how lazy he is and how blah, 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 blah. This guy was playing against the Warriors. He was playing against the best dynasty we've had in the NBA for the last 10, 15 years. Did we ever at any point think he was supposed to beat those teams? Russell Westbrook's playing for the Thunder without Kevin Durant. Did we ever think he's supposed to beat those teams? How many times did LeBron James going up against the Warriors, going up against the Spurs earlier in his career, going up against the Celtics, teams that were much better?
Yeah.
Did we ever sit there and say, you know what, the other team was just better, so you know, we gotta give them a break? No, it's you're one of the best players in the world, you're the MVP, you're this, you're that. That means you have to win a title. So when these teams now and these players make calculuses, all right, how can I ensure that I'm at my best when people care the most, which is the NBA playoffs? That's where we've had this play less games, rest guys. That's just the situation in the culture that's been established in the NBA.
Yeah, I know.
That
but
the NHL doesn't, they don't have that same,
well,
they don't have that same culture. It's just different.
I don't know about that, number one. But two, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily the right culture then for the NBA, because look at what they've had to do to try to combat it. NBA Cup, trying to make these guys, you can't be eligible for postseason awards unless you play a certain amount of games. Like, it's a problem in the NBA. It's a problem. And it's one that the NHL was put on display, just how much that, like, the NHL may have 99 problems. That's not one.
But at the same time, though, Maggie, what I think will lead to frustration from people who are NBA players or guys who, people who support the NBA is, well, where was this energy over the summer when we saw Team USA? We had, wherever Jokic's from, Croatia. We had all these, you know, great matchups in the Olympics. Canada went on a great run. They were undefeated until they lost in the knockout round.
Serbia.
France, of course. France going to the championship gold medal game. Those were awesome games. That was competitive basketball.
Yep.
There was no guys pulling back, guys load management. You mentioned Joel Embiid. He showed up hurt. He showed up with a bad knee, and we were like, this guy shouldn't even be playing. And he was out there giving as much as he had. And for a lot of that tournament, it was nothing. He didn't play great until the last two games. They did that. And what did we hear? It was, well, this isn't really the NBA season. This isn't, you know, what does this really mean? Like, it's like, in some ways, they can't win. Because the NHL could do it, and just because it's at a different time of the year, it's like, oh, look how great the NHL did. Well, the NBA guys did the exact same thing just a few months ago, and there are a lot of basketball fans who said, man, Olympic basketball was awesome. Nobody could say anything bad about that. And there was a lot of poo-pooing of that. So, again, we go back to with the NBA players.
Here's the thing you're missing, though. Joel Embiid can play great in the Olympics and then come back and miss 30 games in the first half of the season.
Part of that was because he played in that other thing.
I know, but see, that's the thing. These hockey players are not going to mail in anything. Like, they get off of this tournament, and it's not Luka Doncic missing a back-to-back because he's out of shape. Like, hockey just can claim such a moral high ground here because it's awesome. Joel Embiid, want to play for the United States? Help us win a gold medal. Fantastic. And then when you come back and it's your actual job, you're a no-show. That the hockey players don't have to deal with that criticism. Let's get to Steve, who's in San Diego, wants to talk about ring culture in the NHL. Good morning, Steve. What's up?
Good morning, Maggie. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Specifically growing up playing ice hockey, that does matter. The amount of rings somebody wins, when we talk about whether they're making the Hall of Fame or whatever, it's always brought up. They're going to talk about it for Alex Ovechkin, the Great Eight, how he won. He got his one. But did he get three like Sidney Crosby? No. So they still use that metric. It's just, it's not everything, I guess. And another thing is, when you're talking about the NHL, they're what, fourth, fifth in sports in America? They're like the challenger in a boxing match. They're trying to make a name for themselves. Basketball, football, it's established here. Yeah. Hockey's still somehow trying to make its foothold within America and popularity. So these guys, if you listen to the best player, McDavid, McJesus, as they call him, when he went out there at the end of the game yesterday and said, you know, we hope we put on a good show so that more people become interested in our sport, that's just different than what NBA players are doing, because they don't need to do that.
But Steve, to your point, like, yeah, the bar is probably a little bit higher for maybe basketball, football, college football, whatever are like our air quotes main sports, United States. But also, to much is, you know, given, much is expected. Like, think about the NBA in this country, in America. We have already put you on this pedestal. Like, you're starting at a much more privileged, if you will, place, because we give you more airtime. We're interested in your personal lives. You know, we're interested in the shoe culture. Like, it goes so much more beyond that. And Steve, thanks for the call. So in some ways, the NBA is such a head start in this country over hockey. I'm not going to lower the bar for the NBA, you know, just because, like, we're a little bit more invested as a country.
I understand that. But again, I think there's a reality of, if Connor McDavid was making $55 million a year, do you really think the Edmonton Oilers are putting him out there in a game where his knee's a little bulky, or there's a little concern about whether or not if he keeps playing, he could have a long-term injury? No, because at the end of the day, all these businesses, well, I was going to say franchises, are businesses.
Yeah.
It's all about making money, right? That's at the end of the day why these people are involved. So there's not the same cost risk that comes with guys playing every night, guys giving it all. And we talk about hockey and how much playing injured and given 100% no matter what the situation, how much of that is the culture of the sport. If there's a benefit to that, then there's not going to be this reasoning to feel like you have to protect your investment.
Okay,
in the NBA, it's totally different because there's just way more money on the line.
Okay, so maybe the dollar amounts are bigger, but it doesn't mean the investment is not there. Sidney Crosby is the third highest paid player in the NHL. He's on the ice last night. It's not $55 million, but again, their salary caps aren't as big. So relative to them, it's big. Nathan MacKinnon is the fourth highest player in the NHL. He's on. McDavid, fifth highest paid player. He's on the ice. Their investments are there, and they're playing hard. And I think it was smart that the, you know, teams actually didn't take this away from them, because it's like the keep the bigger picture, I guess, in mind. Okay, got to take a quick break.
Yep.
We have my top five moments from last night from the U.S. point of view. I know. We lost.
Oh, say, can you see?
Womp, womp, womp. But five
great
moments from the U.S. side. We're trying to make ourselves feel better. Are we coping? Maybe. And we see you guys on the phones. Again, 855-212-4227. Did the NHL embarrass the NBA over the last week? What do you think? This NASCAR race preview is sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. Catch NASCAR in Atlanta for the Ambetter Health 400 on Sunday, February 23rd. I was really into the Daytona 500. I don't know if you guys were catching the fever on that last week.
I was a little bit. I was like, man, I should have been paying attention more to this than the NBA All-Star thing.
Too much rain.
Well,
torture.
I mean, but that's what kind of makes it cool. I don't know. I was into it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Adrian, who's in Maryland. We've been talking about last night's Four Nations face-off. And did the NHL embarrass the NBA over this last week, where the NHL's gimmick 100% worked, the NBA's did not? Adrian, what do you think?
Hey, I'm just going to say, I don't think they embarrassed them. They just made it look better. I'm an all sports guy. So my thing is, even last year, Bill, the All-Star game, If you don't play defense, your goalie's going to get killed. So they do play defense. Unfortunately, in the NBA, if they don't play defense, they're giving up a dunk or ooh-ah layup for the crowd. So in the NHL All-Star game, you have to play some kind of defense, because the guy next to you could get killed.
Right.
So they're looking out for that. NBA, they don't, you know, they're not worried about that. They're worried about not getting hurt and pleasing the crowd.
You're right. There is a difference with the sports, Adrian. It's a good point.
Yep.
There's some sports you can kind of walk through a little bit easier. Like, this is why the Pro Bowl never worked. It was always an awful product, because you just can't play football at half speed. It just looks so bad.
Yeah, well, Sean Taylor once tried to introduce real football to the Pro Bowl, and your punter almost died.
I know. Brian Mormon almost basically almost ended his career.
That's when football was football.
What are we doing? Anyway, can't play that sport half speed. Can't play baseball half speed, quite frankly.
And that's why their all-star game is great.
Exactly. Their all-star game is great because guys are trying because you're not going to groove a meatball to, Pete Alonso or whatever. So
comebacker at 120 miles an hour doesn't sound fun.
No, exactly. Mm. You got to play 100%. So, basketball is a little easier.
And there's an aspect, too. I was thinking about both sports between basketball and hockey. And hockey, they have injuries and they play through injuries. But basketball, and maybe I'm wrong and maybe CeeLo could correct me if I'm not, but it feels like the chance for the fluke injury that's devastating is more likely than in hockey in terms of a guy just jumps and then he blows out his knee.
You mean the non-contact?
Yeah, non-contact injuries. Where in hockey, you may get a shiver, you may get knocked into the ice, but I mean,
skate to
the neck. Yeah, there are dangers, but it doesn't feel like with basketball, could we say guys are going 30%, 40%. It's like, them going 90, they could jump and somehow something pulls or something tears. I don't know if that's the same risk in hockey.
You don't see the non-contact as much in hockey. I mean, it does happen, but I feel like it's not nearly as common as some of the other sports.
Yeah, you get the broken bone from blocking a shot or whatnot down in the ankle. Yeah. But
Take a puck to the face.
A lot of dental
work involved.
Being the official dentist of any NHL team, good spot to be in.
Yeah. Money.
You're going to be in a busy person. All right, let's get to my top five moments last night from the Four Nations Final. And this is going to be from the American's point of view because, I am an American. I know that we lost.
Oh, is that right?
I know. I'm not Slovenian. I'm American. So here are the top five of my best moments, greatest moments last night from the American point of view. Are we coping or making ourselves feel a little bit better? Maybe.
I don't know. We'll see how the segment ends. I feel already a little down.
Okay. Number five on the list, emotional moment, Charlie McAvoy, who got hurt in this tournament because he was playing so physical, coming into the locker room before the game to read the starting lineup. And after he does it, hugs one of his teammates and just devolves into just a puddle of tears. Yeah. You could see how much this really bothered him that he couldn't play. Charlie McAvoy, 5 on my list of greatest moments.
Love
yesterday.
It.
Okay.
Awesome.
Number 4 on the list of greatest moments from last night, but this has really been throughout the tournament from the U.S. point of view, how much they leaned into the movie Miracle, and they were even playing a snippet of Kurt Russell as Herb Brooks in his famous speech from the movie.
Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world. You were born to be hockey players. Every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight.
All-time great sports movie. Yep. Great sports moment. That didn't age that well. It aged well for the Miracle on Ice team. Not so much for our guys last night. Didn't end up winning, but still great. They played it in the arena last night. I thought it was, if you're going to lean into any movie, and it, obviously all the symmetry where, what is it? Tomorrow is the anniversary of the Miracle on Ice, February 22nd, 1980. Okay, number 3 on the list of my top 5 moments from last night's Four Nations face-off from the U.S. point of view, the Boston crowd. Looking back on it now, couldn't have been in any other city.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe Detroit, maybe New York would have brought it. Philadelphia, maybe Vegas would have had its own kind of weird thing. Turns out, hindsight, Boston, perfect spot. Chef's kiss, had plenty of people from Canada.
Oh, yeah.
So you could actually have the Canadian crowd there too. Didn't feel so super one-sided. Boston is a hockey town. Even going to college with the bean pot and all of that. Chef's kiss, Boston, you rocked. Even the crowd shots from bars around Boston that they were showing during the broadcast. Just kudos to Boston.
Epic aura.
Yeah.
Epic aura last night. And Boston had a lot to do with that. I agree.
The vibe's immaculate, as the kids say. Okay, number 2 on my list of top 5 moments from last night, but really the tournament, is the glow up for the Tkachuk brothers. And obviously, if you're a hockey diehard, then the Tkachuks have not just been this generation, but going back to their dad and Keith Tkachuk. But Brady and Matthew getting their moment. Feels like, could we have the Kelseys? Could we have like the NHL's Kelseys?
Right.
I don't know. But all I know is that the Kachucks had a great moment, and they deserve it. They play hard. I think we can all get behind the Kachuk brothers.
Is there another single pop star that we can get one of them with?
Where's Sabrina Carpenter?
Sabrina Carpenter? Is she single still?
I believe they're both spoken for.
Are they married? Probably.
Or one is, I think Brady is and Matthew is engaged, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. All right, well.
Sorry to burst that bubble.
That's okay. They can still be the Kelseys. We can still get a podcast.
Yes, yeah. We can podcast. Well, just turn on a microphone and get a URL. You're done.
In fact, where is the podcast?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like I'm missing something. And my number one moment from last night, from the Americans' point of view, from the Four Nations face-off, is the legend, Mike Ruzioni, coming out in the Johnny Gaudreau sweater and his jersey. And I'll add on top of that the Johnny Hockey chants that we heard in the third period and even into the overtime. Absolute chills. Couldn't come through and obviously win it, but the fact that the Gaudreau family was such a big part of this run, and for someone like Mike Ruzioni, who is... like, is he Mount Rushmore of like meaningful athletes throughout the history of sports with like Bill Russell and other Muhammad Ali? Like, Mike Ruzioni is a thing. He's a planet when it comes to how important he is. You can't tell the history of sports in this country without him.
And unique, though, because the other guys you just mentioned, you know, went on to have massive successes as their careers went along. Like, that was the peak for Ruzioni. Yeah. Like, he had essentially a cup of coffee from an NHL standpoint, but that is such a massive moment in U.S. sports history, no doubt.
So those are my top five moments from the U.S. point of view. CeeLo, did I leave anything out?
I don't think so. I was very curious. You mentioned the Boston crowd. I was curious about the anthems, and there was sort of build-up for that. I was curious, did either of you feel this is like... like deep throat conspiracy theory situation.
Okay.
The gal that sang "O Canada," I thought struggled. So it felt like I feel like the crowd maybe was a little hesitant to really, if they were planning on booing the Canadian anthem. There was a little bit of restraint there, it felt like, because it was just kind of awkward as she was struggling through
something
that.
Something was off.
Yeah.
I thought maybe she was getting like feedback in her ear.
Maybe.
Like, we all work with headphones for a living, and if you're getting your own, like, you have to hear yourself, but not an echo. Or something.
Yeah, it's a nightmare when that happens.
So I thought she was kind of, because she slowed it down so much.
Yeah.
I thought maybe she was a little nervous. I actually thought maybe she was like, all right, here comes the booze. Here comes a very hostile environment. And perhaps that also threw her off a little bit as well.
Yeah, I feel like you heard it a little bit at the beginning, but then as
it just never got better.
Kind of evened out.
And then I think you actually had a lot of Americans singing along with it as well as it went along.
Well, so it is a banger. As I
it
said
is. I totally agree.
Yeah, so. We talked about our top five anthems from yesterday. What did we say? It was the top five most like inspirational? Or what was the list?
Liechtenstein, I think, was on the list.
Yeah, Liechtenstein made the list.
Netherlands, right. Germany.
Yeah. I think
Germany was in there. Yeah, I was a little surprised.
I think Mexico.
Yes, you did mention my Mexican anthem, and I think you also mentioned the Argentinian anthem.
Yeah, and we were on there too, but not Canada. And I think
really?
That list was very flawed. Yeah,
wow.
This was someone else's list. What do they know?
Okay,
it was like the Classical Music Society or something like that.
Yeah, I love O Canada,
our home and native land.
Not afraid to say it. I mean, the Star Spangled Banner gets me pretty much every time, but O Canada is a good anthem.
I feel like in some ways. Shouldn't there be like a shelf life on an anthem? Like, I guess we'll never live long enough for them to change it. But is Star Spangled Banner
change the anthem?
Well, no. I'm just asking. Like, how long is the Star Spangled Banner gonna be our national? Is it gonna be forever? Like,
yeah, as long as we're a country.
Why? So we're not gonna update the song.
Wouldn't shock me.
What are we gonna change it to?
I don't know.
They not like us?
Yeah, not like
Kendrick
us.
I like that.
Is that the new anthem?
I don't know. But it wouldn't.
Do you let the public vote on? Not like a. I mean, what are even your options if this is like a poll? If we could change the anthem to a pop culture song?
Oh yeah, I don't think they're changing it to a pop culture song.
No,
I think they would adjust the lyrics.
What is it, like Dr. Feelgood?
No, I think they adjust the lyrics of the existing anthem.
I would assume you would have like a committee that would come together. You'd find some songwriters,
and
you would say, "Hey, we're gonna make a new national anthem."
Isn't this creating a problem and then trying to solve it?
Like, let's just do Freebird, Born in the USA, mash them up together. That's your new anthem.
There you go.
It just, I mean, 400 years from now, like, some of these references that are in the Star Spangled Banner may just seem so ridiculously outdated. We're like, what?
They're
are they
outdated
even talking
now.
About?
Yeah,
well,
exactly. I was gonna say, definitely.
It's not gonna. Yeah, it's only
I still
gonna
don't
get
know
more
what some
outdated.
Of the words mean.
Also, we're pretty young as a country. You know, there's
that's
like
my point,
other
though.
Countries
right.
that have been doing this for a lot longer.
As the teacher in Mighty Ducks 2 said, America's a teenager. Talking hockey, I gotta get my D2 reference in
there. Yeah, and going through it, aren't we?
D2, by the way, better than D1, in my opinion.
Better. Wow. Yeah, that's take. A strong that's a take. Take. Okay. Yeah, I do sure. like D2. I'm not even gonna push back on that, but that is
wait,
I
wasn't
say,
D2 international competition?
It was
yes. as opposed to
that's
D1.
Why I like, yeah, that's why I like
the junior Goodwill games in
against
Anaheim.
Finland, right?
No, Iceland.
Oh, Iceland. Yeah,
right. Which by, sorry, by the way, why was Iceland like these terrible villains? I didn't understand why they were so great.
The slick back hair.
Because of the coach.
Right. He was cutthroat.
Yeah. Literally, they were wearing like all black. It's like, can we put it a little bit more on the nose? Like, there wasn't literally a black hat you could find to put on them. But, you know, it's Disney. Okay, CeeLo, will you hang around for a second?
Sure.
Didn't get to your headlines. Don't want to shortchange that. 855-212-4227. I gave you my top five moments from last night. What are yours? And also, did the NHL embarrass the NBA over the last week with how well this worked with the Four Nations face-off? Don't move.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ's in for Perloff today, and we'll get back to the hockey and Victor Wembanyama in just a moment because Chris Lopresti is here doing updates for us today. But a little behind the scenes, this is one of those very lucky days where we get to work in this industry and people bring us free stuff. So thank you to Sammy Steinlein and everyone at the Red Bulls, yes. New York Red Bulls soccer team who's here. Not only do they bring us T-shirts and awesome swag, they have like a full spread of food out. And we work through double pane glass and we can still smell everything that they were cooking
yep.
in the newsroom. That's how you know it's good. And I want to eat this stuff. It's stadium food, elevated stadium food. It's 8:45 a.m. on the East Coast. I don't know if I can eat a fried chicken sandwich. They have some very fancy gourmet hot dogs out there.
I did the hot
falafel. It's just a little early for that food, but I want to eat it.
Well, loaded, I house mine tots. Already.
Yeah, loaded tots.
Loaded tots with brisket on top.
And they're making it. The chef is here.
Yes.
I met the chef. So
yeah, shook his hand.
It's an interesting dynamic. A lot of times food will arrive already prepared or, you know, breakfast dessert items. Yeah. This is a little different. They're like making 5-course meals over down the hallway right there.
But it's like, it's... Is 8:45 a.m. Can you eat a Caesar salad wrap? Like, it's,
try me.
And you can. What happens after that? I'm not sure.
So I don't ask people to do things for me a lot around here. I'm not one of those people. Everyone's got to do everything for me. I'm totally self-sufficient. But I did ask Manny, can you please grab me?
Manny, get this sound. Manny, grab that sound.
I just said, well, the sound, that's for the show. I meant, you know, me personally. Like, ask some other people around here about ordering them breakfast and stuff like that. Okay, so I said, Manny, do you mind grabbing me something? He said, sure, what do you want? I said, I'll take the chicken. I meant the chicken sandwich. Manny brought me back just a piece of fried chicken that EJ is eating.
Yeah.
Cutlet.
Well, I'm literally just eating a piece of chicken breast.
He went to confirm, and he was like, just the chicken? You were like, yeah, just the chicken.
That's why I came back in to confirm, because I thought it was weird, too, that you just wanted just the chicken. I came back in for you to say, yeah, the chicken sandwich, but then you just reiterated just the chicken.
What is this? Who's on first? No, just the chicken. Like, I didn't also want the falafel, right. The tater tots, and the hot dog and all that stuff. I can't eat a hot dog at 8:45.
Well, listen, this is why English is my second language. You just live and learn, okay?
Thank you. You did bring me the sandwich, and I'm excited to eat it. CeeLo,
I'm excited to eat chicken breast. That's all I'm having
you
now.
Just like, can I get a fork?
Yeah,
just start eating it. All right. Well, anyway, we're very lucky. So thank you to the Red Bulls. This is not something that we take lightly, and we're always very appreciative of free food and free everything. CeeLo, what's going on in the world?
All right. Some really strong defensive zone play for the U.S. at times last night in Boston, but leaving arguably the world's best player all alone in the slot in overtime turned out to be ill-advised. Sean McDonough with the final call on ESPN, and that last part, a huge part of the equation as it turned out, because Jordan Binnington made, I would say, 4 or 5 exceptional saves earlier in OT to keep the game alive until McDavid buried the winner, as you just heard there, top shelf past Connor Hellebuck. Canada 3, the United States 2 in the first ever Four Nations Faceoff Championship game. A lot of questions and criticism for Team Canada going with Binnington as the goalie, and he certainly made that decision look pretty good last night. Even kind of blacked out in overtime a bit.
You don't really remember. You're in the moments, but it felt good to make some saves, and then it was just felt such a great feeling to see the boys bury it.
And that set off the celebration. Binnington with NHL Network Radio. Tough loss for Mike Sullivan's squad, especially because they had a 2-1 lead and then carried the play for much of the third period, plus those golden opportunities in OT, but he appreciated the spectacle of it all.
I thought our team competed extremely hard all night long. It was a tremendous hockey game, fast pace. This is the fastest hockey that I've ever been a part of the whole tournament.
So that was on display. You also had the ongoing back and forth involving Brandon Hagel and the Tkachuk brothers, specifically Matthew, the last few days, kind of trading jabs, while Brad Marchand never wanted to shy away from a strong taker, giving someone the business.
Sometimes when you shoot your mouth off in the media, I mean, it bites you. You know, you can do that during the season, but when you're playing best on best, there's it's different, you know, and they got a little bit ahead of themselves.
A little bit of a flex
right,
on the
Brad,
Tkachuk brothers.
Let's calm down a little bit. You won 3-2 in overtime. You didn't whitewash anything.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Now my little patriotism is going to come out. Come
well,
on.
I'll give you another one. Yeah. Hagel responded to Matthew Tkachuk's suggestion that Team Canada maybe didn't like each other because they didn't have the group text going.
I was just about to tell you about this.
So Hagel posted to his Instagram story a screenshot of a group chat with his teammates titled Champions and a big big Canadian flag pasted right on top of it.
That one, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That one's fine. You did have the Tkachuk brothers and I forgot who was. Was it Miller? No, who else was
Miller,
on?
Right?
JT Miller.
Yeah, JT Miller, where they were like planning to, you know, drop gloves.
Yeah.
Okay, that one. But
you shoot your mouth off in the media
and you're gonna eat it. 3-2 overtime.
Yeah.
We still lost though. At the end of the day, it still was the result that you didn't want. And
embarrassed at all. Like, no. I think that's the kind of thing that Marchand's saying, like, you give us bulletin board material, we're gonna bury you. It's like, that's not what happened. No. This was an even game.
No, but I think there is something to you not getting it done in the clutch. I think there's that. I think there, in some ways, that's almost more painful, is that you guys ran your mouth off because you think this, you thought this was going to be different. And for a while, it thought like it might be different. And it's still the same, baby. It's still old Canada.
I don't know. You got all these, we have people calling from Canada today saying how nervous they were watching the game.
Yeah, but that's not the players, though. The players, they might not have felt that. They, like, you know, how many times do you see athletes be like, yeah, it was tight, but we felt like we were in control. And I don't know if that's true in terms of, like, but these athletes are delusional.
I know,
like,
but I think he might have felt like he didn't play well the whole game until finally at the end, right?
Exactly. Like, that's exactly my point.
He was saying a little to do with that.
Well, but to him, it's not. That's not the case. To him, it's like, well, we knew we were going to win in the end, and I wasn't playing great. It just, it was only a matter of time before I came through. And I think that's a reality that these guys face, so I'm all for it. I'm for all slander. I am for all trash talk. I don't care if it doesn't even make total sense. Give it to me, because I think that our sports is more fun when guys are getting after it in that way.
And you don't often get that with hockey. They're yes. usually pretty humble, soft-spoken. So to get a little back and forth here, the Tkachuk brothers, Hagel, Marchand's sort of the exception to that
yeah.
because he is wired differently than the typical hockey player because he's got that edge to him.
Yeah, he's violent.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. You get that angle of it, and it should lead to some excitement leading into the Olympics next year. So, by the way, we had that J.J. Redick soundbite right out of the gate this morning, drooling over LeBron's performance last night. 40 points in a road win over the Trailblazers.
Yeah, what'd he say again, guys?
Yeah, just to refresh your memory, here you go.
I believe I saw the other day, he's a billionaire, and he's playing on the second night of a back-to-back at 40 after 22 years with every frickin' record and every accolade. And the kids will say that I'm glazing him.
Okay, and that right there drew quite the reaction from you guys. Basically, it was like smelling salts for you early this morning. So if I may, please allow me to present ESPN's Ray Ferraro talking up U.S. defenseman Jacob Slavin on last night's Four Nations broadcast on ESPN.
That's a tremendous play again by Slavin. I don't mean to glaze him too much, but you watch him all the time and you're like, that's a cornerstone of a championship defense.
So we had two glazing references in two different leagues on opposite coasts.
Are we wrong? Maybe we're wrong, guys. Maybe we think it means something and these guys think it means something else.
I don't think we're wrong. I think it's just become normalized because you kind of get around it, you know? You get around the reference by saying it in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to be interesting because there are some announcers in all sports that like to have fun. So I'm curious the next time Pat McAfee's on a mic or Richard Jefferson's on a mic and they say glazing, that will be the moment where I think all the issues we're having, we're like, is this where we are now? That's going to become the national conversation.
What are they doing, Chuck? They doing what, Chuck?
Right, exactly. Inside the NBA, they're going to have a ton.
Okay, do you think that maybe they meant to say, like, glossing?
No. I think they meant exactly what they...
I don't know why they're doing that. There's so many other words.
How old's your son?
5 and a half.
Yeah, you're not. So my oldest will be 9 shortly.
Yeah.
So what I've noticed is that you get into the elementary schools, into like grade school.
Uh oh.
And the languages.
Elementary school.
Yeah, definitely.
The slang, the stuff that I'm like.
Do they know what it means though?
No. Hell no. I'm not saying my 9-year-old's using glade, but there are words that I have not been familiar with, and I have to ask them what that means.
Oh, they like skibbity or whatever.
They like to abbreviate things a lot. That, you know.
Can I have an example, please?
Sure. Like sus is one they like.
Yeah.
Okay. You know.
Yeah. Sure.
So I think
it's a little
just
sus that you don't know what it means.
These, these alternate references are becoming more common in today's society.
Yeah, but glaze. This is the sexual innuoo. That's what's making it.
But JJ Redick. So let's date JJ Redick. I don't know how old his kids are. I'd imagine they're a little bit older.
I think they're
and Ray
school.
Ferraro. Probably has, right. I don't know what his family dynamic or situation is, but I'm just thinking of the ages of these guys, if they're fathers, and the ages of their kids.
Right.
I imagine
then
that's probably where it's coming from.
Their kids are setting them up here
from.
For some, really,
yeah.
for failure.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
And profanity.
I think we just needed, it sounds like I'm really praising them. How about praising?
No.
Rhymes with it.
It's not the same effect, Maggie.
Easy fix. CeeLo, thank you very much. Coming up, we've got a lot to do, including more on the Four Nations face-off. We also got some NFL news for you. Don't blink. NNT.
low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.